Welcome to the Star Coach Show, episode 399. I'm Meg Rentschler.
So much conflict at work happens because of a lack of clarity. We have a manager and our boss gives us instructions and you hear the boss's instructions one way, I hear them a different way, and now we're doing different things and now we're in conflict. And that's an easy example, but there are so many variations on that. I have an expectation, like at home, we picture, you know, I have an expectation that you're going to empty the dishwasher and you expect that I'm going to do it. And or at work, you know, who's going to, you know, the coffee mugs on the conference table. My expectation is that you're going to clear your own mug, and your expectation is the magic coffee fairy is going to clear the mug for you. So, you know, those kinds of expectation violations are at the root of so much workplace conflict.
Our show this week is all about what to say next to de-stress the workday, to build collaboration, to calm difficult customers and employees, and have productive conversations. My guests, Karen Hurt and David Dye, are going to help us do just that in this episode of The Star Coach Show.
Welcome to Star Coaches, the show for professional coaches that brings you coaching strategies, tools, and resources. Whatever your focus or niche, take a front seat weekly as industry leaders, decision makers, and innovators share their wisdom and expertise on the ins and outs of successful coaching. Now join your host, Meg Rentschler, as she connects you with your star coaching potential.
Karen Hurt and David Dye, welcome to the Star Coach Show.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Delighted to be with you.
So excited. I love doing interviews where I get to talk with a couple too, because you know, then we have two different perspectives. And even though you guys are, I'm sure, in alignment about a lot of what you do, it gives our listeners two voices to follow along with mine. And the more, the merrier. So let me tell everybody a little bit about the two of you. And very truthfully, one of the things I like to share is, what was it about the two of you that made me excited to have you on the show? Because I get pitches for people to be on the show continuously and want to be really selective about who I bring forward for my audience. And what you two are doing in the world is what I believe there needs to be more of. And so the opportunity to introduce you to the audience and to share your work was something that I just couldn't pass on. So David and Karen are both award-winning authors. They just write books all the time. Karen has 5 books. David has 6 books. One of their most award-winning books, Courageous Cultures, they wrote together. They wrote the book that really brought them to my attention together, Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. Karen is the CEO and David is the president of Let's Grow Leaders. How cool is that name? And I shared with Karen during our exploratory call, or I think I did, Karen, we've both slept since then, that I began my career as a psychotherapist and began seeing more and more and more people in my therapy practice that were coming to therapy because of their workplace cultures, because of the lack of healthy culture, feeling that they were being stretched further than they could stretch. Either being asked to be a leader without being given the skills of leadership, or being led by people who didn't really have the skills of leadership. That was sort of my original motivation for seeking out executive coaching, wanting to change cultures and help people have healthier cultures. So goodness gracious, when I meet somebody who has written and written and written and facilitated workshops and worked with organizations to help their leaders grow, who wouldn't want to introduce them to their audience? So welcome to the show. I'm delighted to have you here.
We are delighted. We're looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks, Meg.
Good, good, good. So out of all the many things that you could do, which is why I do exploratory calls with my guests, because not one of them is just a one-trick pony, right? You guys have done so much and have so much to share, but Karen and I really zoned in on this concept of conflict in the workplace and what is productive conflict. You know, it's sort of like that concept of coaching. It's a balance between support and challenge. If all we do is support, people grow stagnant. They don't, you know, they're not challenged to grow. Well, I think conflict sort of brings forward growth, but how do we do that productively? So we're going to look at four dimensions of that. And now that we've set the stage for the fabulousness that's going to happen, I'm going to throw the ball to the two of you and say, when we're thinking about this concept of the four C's and the dimensions, where do we want to start?
Well, we always like to start with a connection because connection really sets the stage at two levels. And I mean, your coaches know this too, right? If you don't have a human connection with the people that you're coaching, you're not going to get through at all. And you're not going to be able to challenge. I'm not going to be able to do anything. So the first part of connection is, you know, do we have a relationship? So, you know, imagine you need to have a challenging, difficult conversation. Maybe you're in conflict with a guy named Joe. Now, if Joe is like a super nice guy and he got you out of a jam, you know, the other day when your little boy was sick and he told your boss how good you are at pivot tables, and he comes to you with one of our powerful phrases, I really care about you and I'm confident we can find a solution we can both work with here. You're like, yeah, Joe's a pretty nice guy. I'm confident about that too. Let's talk about this thing. But imagine same conflict, different Joe. This Joe threw you under the bus the other day and he comes to you. He's like, I'm really, you know, I care about you. I'm confident. You're like, hard no, Joe.
Yeah, excuse right? me. I still have the track marks on my face when
exactly.
the bus went
I don't
over
trust
me from
you.
The last time. Wait, so there's no trust here.
Yeah. So that's, you know, one of the dimensions of you know, connection. Are you really working to build those relationships before you need them? Okay. And then the second is the connection that you make in a conflict conversation. And so for those who are watching on the video, why does she have a goat in our background? Well, this
Karen has a very large goat in her background.
Right. So for those who are listening, I have a big, gigantic goat that comes with us to conferences. And we have one goat for each dimension. This is the connection goat. And so we have powerful phrases to build those connections. One of our favorite goat powerful phrases for connection is simply, tell me more. You know?
A great coaching question as well. I mean, everybody's ears should pick up on that question.
Yeah. So that's, the first dimension is connection.
You know, and I think there's another aspect of connection that when you're talking about moving from what is it that makes conflict productive, you know, so often when we think of workplace conflict, we immediately go to destructive conflict that tears people down, damages relationships, all that. Well, to start that pivot to productive conflict, there's a conversation we have with ourselves as well. And I think that's also another form of connection. Are we connected to our own values? Are we asking ourselves, what's at stake if we stay silent? What's going to happen if I don't speak up? And what are the values I need to be speaking up on behalf of? So all of those elements, nothing changes if we don't have those conversations. And all that's about connecting to what really matters for us as well. So all of this relationship with ourselves, with other people, you can't stress it enough.
So good. And I just want to bring in, because as you guys were talking about the connection, I thought about your story. So you two met because you were writing the same book. I mean, like basically, and so when I think about connection, I think either you guys could get really competitive about that and you could feel threatened and you could have felt like, I'm going to get it done first and get it out there, or I'm going to whatever. There's any number of things that could have happened with that. But what happened instead? You found out you're writing the same book. So what did you do?
Well, it's interesting. I, at that time, while we were both pitching different versions of a similar theme, I had also been open at that point in my writing. I'd written a book just like Karen did individually, and also was recognizing the benefits of other people, engaging with other people, different personality, different perspective, and that you can come up with a much stronger product when you have that kind of variety. And Karen and I realized about the same time that was happening. And so we decided we wanted to collaborate and work on something together. And at first I was saying, well, let's start with an article or a white paper or something like that. And Karen being Karen said, let's go straight to the book. Let's do it. We're aligned.
Yeah, tech with that. We've got a book. We already had it all figured out. Let's just do it.
Yeah. And, you know, so David was living in Colorado and I was living in Maryland. So we wrote the entire book not being in the same room. And it was interesting because we had this, for some reason, one reason or another, we use Facebook chat is how we were communicating. So we constantly just had this ongoing chat, 7 days a week, this ongoing chat was going on. So you can imagine, you can't not be connecting at a human level when you're chatting with somebody all day long, right? And during that time, all kinds of stuff happened, serious stuff. My mother got sick and died, like big things. So you're getting to know each other as human beings throughout this. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that once we went to go publish, the book had been published, we were out to get ready to go do some speaking and that kind of thing. And we realized we had fallen in love. So we merged our businesses together. Now we do all the writing together. And it, but it's interesting.
In the same room. Or at least in the same home.
We are in the same home now. Yes, we are not in the same room because that would be a lot. Yeah, I could be with the goat, but not David all day long. But, you know, but it's interesting when you talk about collaboration because we're so aligned, but we are so different in the way we view the world. And we're so different about how we approach the business. We have totally different gifts when it comes to the business. And you can imagine there is a lot of conflict that comes there. But it's not destructive conflict because we know that if we can communicate through these differences of points of view and perspectives, there's innovation on the other side of that. But it's not always particularly comfortable because, you know, it's easier to do things your way, you know, but.
Oh, right. And yet the finished product, I'm sure, is that much stronger and richer because of your collaboration. And just through that little piece of the conversation, I thought, oh my goodness, has the American language given us so many cool C words? I mean, we collaborated there and we had conflict and we had, you know, the comfortable. And I was like, oh my goodness, all these delightful alliteration going on here. And we're going to go through three more C's. So we started with connection and also brought us to this collaboration between the two of you. What is the second C that we want to zero in on regarding conflict?
Yeah, the next one is clarity. And so much conflict at work happens because of a lack of clarity. We have a manager and our boss gives us instructions and you hear the boss's instructions one way, I hear them a different way, and now we're doing different things and now we're in conflict. And that's an easy example, but there are so many variations on that. I have an expectation, like at home, we picture, you know, I have an expectation that you're going to empty the dishwasher and you expect that I'm going to do it. And, or at work, you know, who's going to, you know, the coffee mugs on the conference table. My expectation is that you're going to clear your own mug and your expectation is the magic coffee fairy is going to clear the mug for you. So, you know, those kinds of expectation violations mm-hmm. are at the root of so much workplace conflict. So if we can get alignment and get on the same page about what success looks like, and even more than that, one of our favorite GOAT powerful phrases for clarity is, what would a successful outcome do for you? And this is where we're getting underneath whatever it is that the person is saying that they're wanting, and then what is it that that actually does for them? What problem does it solve? What goal does it help them achieve? What safety does it provide? Whatever it is that they're after. And once we know that, and we can get ours in there too, now we're in a better place to start actually crafting solutions. So that's one of the phrases to help establish some of that shared clarity.
Love that. I just want to also, you know, in my experience, assumption is sort of the adverse of clarity. Like I'm assuming, so I'm moving forward and it keeps me out of alignment with you because I'm not slowing down and saying, what's your understanding of this? I'm just assuming that I know. And my assumption, of course, is better than your assumption. So, or we're just not even understanding that the assumption is different.
Yeah. And so often when we're having conflict and we haven't actually talked to the other person, all the conflict's in our head because of those assumptions. We're having that assumption of what the person's going to say. And then I have a reaction to it. And I do this whole story, but I've never actually had the conversation.
Mind reading is so powerful.
Except it's not. I'm telepathetic. Oh, no. So yeah, yes. I can't read mine. Yes. So,
you know, a lot, one of the things, foundational things we teach in our training courses that is so basic that it was in our book, Winning Well, our first book that we wrote in. I didn't want to put it in there because I thought it was too simple. And Dave was like, no, people need it. And 12 years later, no matter what training course we do, you know, people at the end, whether we're talking to CEOs or whether we're talking to first level supervisors, like, you know, what's really helpful? It's this check for understanding. And it's just like, not instead of saying to somebody, do you have any questions, to say, okay, I just want to be sure I'm clear. What did you take away from this conversation? Or what do you think the next steps are going to be? And hear it back from them. It is amazing how that reduces conflict. Just that one simple clarity statement.
Ellen, your point about, I thought it was so simple, there was no reason to put it in. I just want coaches to hear that again and again, just, or the leaders that are listening. Don't assume because it's just makes sense to you that other people are even thinking that or in that lane. Say it, ask. explore. Yes. What is absolutely like breathing to you might not be for somebody else. Yeah.
Absolutely. Karen and I have this happen all the time, and we teach this stuff, right? And if we fail to check for understanding, you can almost guarantee we interpreted the same word differently until we make sure we're on the same page.
Love that. So we've got connection and then clarity. We really want to be connected both in the conversation and just and to other human beings. We want to have that shared understanding through clarity. To help, my favorite word, curiosity. Let's talk curiosity.
Yeah. So curiosity is, are we genuinely interested in the other person's perspective and what's possible? Are we, you know, are we open to alternative solutions to get there? And, you know, when we think about some of the curiosity goats, you know, a simple one is, what does this look like from your perspective?
Yeah. Beautiful question.
You know, and it's really hard to be curious and furious at the same time. You know, your brain just can't do that. So if you can genuinely show up curious and say, you know what, I might not understand the whole picture here. Just that, just getting your brain there is going to de-escalate the stress that you're in and the way, the demeanor in which you are showing up in a difficult conversation.
You also can't, you can't be judgmental and curious at the same time, because if right. you're truly curious, you've got to drop the judgment because you're trying to figure things out. And who wants to be in a conversation with somebody who's judging all over you? Not really fun.
Nope.
Excellent. Anything else about curiosity and perspective, you know, that element before we move into our fourth C?
I think we got it.
Okay. All right. So, David, you want to handle our fourth C?
Happy to. Commitment is the fourth C. And this is not like saying, oh, we've got to be committed. It's really about creating that path forward. What is our path forward? How can we hold ourselves accountable to our agreement? And so often, even people who have gotten a really good discussion and really worked through things, too often will leave with great intentions, but no actual next steps, no follow through, and no commitment. And so then it ends up being Groundhog's Day, broken record, we're going to do it again, and trust and frustration and all that kind of stuff. So commitment to create that shared path forward, it's, you know, what's one action we can both agree to as a next step? So we're getting real specific about what that looks like. And then my personal favorite of the commitment questions, phrases that we can use, is what we call scheduling the finish. And this is about putting a time on the calendar where we're going to examine whatever it is we just agreed to do. We're going to do that together. And so the phrase might be, hey, let's schedule some time to talk about this again and see how we're doing with our agreement or how these next steps are working. And so that does two things for us. One is, well, now we have a time on the calendar where we're going to look each other in the eye, either physically or virtually, and talk about whatever it is we said we were going to do, which increases our accountability, our follow through, right? But then the second thing it does that's so important is it gives us a chance to deal with problems, exceptions, things that interfere. So, you know, let's say we're coworkers and we have an agreement to do a data sharing thing, and like, okay, we, with best of intentions, we make this agreement, but in the intervening week, our boss comes along with a new problem. There's a customer service issue. Something blows up, like, oh, goodness. And now we're frantic. If we never go back to our conversation and we didn't follow through, our trust erodes. Mm-hmm. But if we built in a time to talk about it, now we can have that conversation. We can say, hey, did you do the thing? No, I didn't do the thing. Did you? No, I didn't. Okay, what happened? Let's talk about that. Let's renew our commitment. Let's solve for that problem that we just learned about and take those next steps. And now we're building trust as opposed to letting it erode away.
What I love about that commitment is that it goes right back to connection. We're making sure that we're reconnecting with one another. It increases clarity and we can get curious about what happened rather than assuming what happened. So that commitment really kind of rolls in the other three phases of that.
Absolutely.
Well.
And so the reason we start with these four dimensions, right, is we can't possibly give you a chapter for every single conflict you ever going to have, right?
Although there are a lot.
We cover a whole bunch of them and you can go to the table of contents and say, am I having an ACE, an acute conflict emergency, and turn to that chapter, somebody stole my idea, my boss is screaming F-bombs, whatever, and you can go to that. But with these four dimensions and these goats, you can say, okay, what is needed here? Is connection what's needed here? Is curiosity what's needed here? Do we keep having the same conflict again? Maybe we're having a commitment challenge. And you can just think about these dimensions and a couple of goats that you can just get in your repertoire and that you can just use whenever you need them.
Yeah. For me, like as I approach conflict, that curiosity, I'm curious how this looks from your perspective. That's one I'm constantly trying to incorporate in my own evolution today. Like we're all in process, right? So I want to have that one in my back pocket ready to go. And earlier in my life, I invested a ton more in clarity. And now it's like, okay, I got those habits down. Now what's next? So which is it you can bring to your conversations?
Well, I love that curiosity about what's next. Where do I need to grow also as the person who's engaging? So as with every interview that is my favorite interview, this is offering, you know, this is what we can do for our own growth. And this is what we can also help supply clients to think about and engage through a lens to look through.
Yeah. When I think about your coaches that are listening, right? So mm-hmm. I imagine, you know, as coaches, you know, we're always asking questions and getting people to self-discover. And probably every coach who ever had a coaching conversation has also heard these words, just tell me what to say, right? And we heard that so many times for years and years, like coaching people through and saying, okay, well, here are some words that might work to express what you mm-hmm. need. And so that's what this is. We're really, our intention for this book is to give people some words to more eloquently express at a time that maybe they are not feeling so confident because it's stressful, right? The situation that they're in. And so they can go in and be more articulate and more confident if they say, oh, this, yeah, they're right. That sentence might actually work, or a variation of that sentence might work. Right.
So let's talk about how has this landed on the leaders that you worked with? This, I know it's relatively new, but I know you're out there talking to leaders all the time and helping to empower them. And it's not like none of this information you were offering prior to writing the book. It was just accumulation of all that you've been doing. So how's it landing on people?
Well, we just got back from the big ATD, the Association of Talent Development Global Conference, and we had 500 people come to the room to do our breakout session, right? Like they're standing room only. So that just gives you a sense of this. If you're dealing with workplace conflict, you are not the only one. You are in a seriously good company. And you know, it's interesting when people are like, oh, that is simple. That is practical. That will work. So I think that's how it's landing. That generally is how our other content lands too. People are like, oh, it's practical. I can use that. And you know what? I think what we're finding in application, it is reducing the stress in the conversation and it's expediting the outcome is what I would say. People are getting to a resolution more quickly.
And one of the effects that we've seen are tattoos. And the specific scenario is one of our clients had an individual who called with some challenges at work and, you know, just going through the coaching questions that your coaches would ask. And you discover, okay, the person has not had the conversation that addresses their concerns. So we walk through some phrases to use. And the conversation, they make a commitment to go have the conversation. I get a text 3 days later, and it says, David, I'm going to get a tattoo. I'm like, oh, okay. What is this tattoo going to say? And the guy writes back, I'm going to get a tattoo that says, just have the conversation. I took what we talked about. I went and I did it. It went so well. Everything I was nervous about, like, and the phrase that you gave me worked so well. The point of these phrases is to open the door to meaningful conversations. We're not scripting out the whole conversation for you. It opens the door. And that's what they do. And they work when you use them.
Well, and I can create, like you said, such a conversation in my head and all the what ifs, because what ifs are endless, and especially when we're awfulizing. So it can just go. But if I have a tool, here's some phrases that I could use. Like you said, you don't have to map out the whole conversation. I can be more confident as a leader and feel more competent, which is what I was seeing in my therapy practice, that people weren't feeling competent as leaders because they just weren't. You know, I can be a great individual contributor, but does that mean that I know how to talk to my people? Not necessarily. So what I love about the tools you've given is here's some phrases for you to consider that's going to build that confidence. So you're going to go into the conversation with a different perspective than when you're all operating out of your what ifs. And if I say this and then maybe I'm going to be more defensive. I mean, you know, we could make up all sorts of stories, but ultimately, what I love is that this provides competence and confidence.
Yes.
Because I'm all stuck on my C words today, right?
Oh, we love them.
So let's talk a little bit. You guys have been doing this kind of work for a while. You've been working with leaders. What are you finding that even putting your ideas into books and providing tools for your clients, what does that do as sort of a game changer maybe in the process that, because just as a little, and I'll share with, I'm always encouraging, you know, my clients who are coaches, you know, maybe there's a book in you. My guess is there's probably a book in you. And how are you going to put that forward? Now I'm preaching to the choir. I haven't done my own book yet either, but I know that I just want to, maybe if it's okay with you guys, have that conversation about what it's like to put your thoughts into books.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the first thing it does is helps you really clarify your own thinking and what you believe, right? Because to get it really clear, like, you know, so it starts with blogging. I mean, before you write a book, like, are you writing articles? And if you don't want to have a whole website and stuff, you can write articles on LinkedIn, but just having to crystallize that. And every time we've written a book, I have a dark night of the soul about 6 weeks, David, about 6 weeks before it's due to the publisher. And I freak out and I'm like, it's not good enough. And we have to reorganize this and it's going to have to be that. And did it, right? And it always comes, and it's not fun when I have this, and it creates a huge fire.
I'm reading your husband's face about that. Yeah.
He knows it's not fun. And this time it was like, he said, you haven't had it yet. And if you're going to have it, you need to have this because
let's
we're
put
running
your dark
out of time.
This is a good time for it if it's going to happen.
And
but
I
on
would
the
say-
other side of that is usually a much better structure, much better clarity. So the first thing I would say to somebody is if you're having that level of anxiety as you're writing the book, I think that means you're writing a good book because you're not just phoning it in. You're really, really caring about it.
Yeah, if I can comment on that too, is that is part of the process. Like none of us, what you picture in your head, I try to encourage so many people who are aspiring authors, and there is a frustration that we run into as writers when whatever we have in our head doesn't come out on the page or the screen that way. And then people get discouraged and frustrated. It's never going to come out that way. You have to go through the process of getting something out and then workshopping it and then editing it and then having somebody else read it and then having, as Karen said, the dark night of the soul, if that's part of your process. Like that's true for any of us. We all go through it in different ways, but you have to do the work to get there. So expect that. If you care, it's not going to come out as gorgeous as you hope on the first draft. That's the third or fourth or fifth draft.
Yeah. And then the other thing that you started with a question, what does the book do for you? And yes. I will tell an inspiring story that might encourage somebody to write their book. So when we were writing our book, Courageous Cultures, one of the things that we were very careful in doing is really doing research and figuring out who was building these innovative cultures of psychological safety. And part of that was working with people we knew, but part of it was actually paying attention to what was happening in the world. And I happened to notice that there was some work being done in Nestle in Switzerland that was around DE&I as it related to our topic. And our book is not a DE&I book, but we can't talk about courageous cultures without talking about DE&I.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a DE&I expert, neither is David. So let's go find some expertise and bring this in, right? So long story short, I find this lady on LinkedIn. I told her I've been watching what she's been doing. And we get PR involved because, you know, big companies like that can't talk to reporters without, you know, PR there. So it's a very formalized thing. And, you know, we end up with a couple of paragraphs about one of their best practices in the book. Of course, I send the book off to Switzerland with a lovely thank you note. And, you know, she writes a nice email back and says very politely, thank you. That was it, right? 1 year later, I get this email and it says, Karen, my boss, the CEO, wants to build a care and dare culture. And I am looking, and he's like, how are we going to do this? And I look at my desk and your book, Courageous Cultures, is sitting right on my desk. Now, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't read it, you know, but it was there. So I took it home over the weekend, read the whole book, and I'm like, yep, that's what we need to do. This turned into one of our biggest clients that we've had. We trained their executive team. We trained the level below that, the level below that. It started during the pandemic, so a lot of it was virtual. But after that, we made two trips to Switzerland, which is also really nice, right? And had an experience all because of that book. If that book did not exist, we would not have gotten that work. So
that is amazing. And the connections that you made by writing the book, that you cared enough to like research and reach out to people and talk. And then even if at that exact moment, nothing's happening, that person is aware that you are, well, I'm just laughing that the book that she hadn't read was on her desk a year later. I'm like, does she clean her desk if she hadn't read the book and it was still on her? But no, that's great.
Oh, that Meg, you should see my desk. It's a good thing you can only see the backdrop.
So I just love the work that you all are doing. And just in case anybody's like goats, that's greatest of all time. Yeah. So if, I mean, I know most of us, but just in case somebody was sleeping or did, so that the theme that you're bringing that in, and if somebody were to pick up the book, and hopefully everybody will pick up the book, let's just give them a few tips of like the best way to use it as we are wrapping up our time together today.
Do you want to do that, David? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So first thing we recommend is check out the first 6-7 chapters where we go through, we did the research you're talking about. We did research before this book, 5,000 plus person survey, 46 countries, all 50 US states. And we get into some of what is happening with regard to conflict in the workplace today, which the cliff notes, there's more of it than there has been before. And a lot of the reasons why relate to things coming out of the pandemic and then all of the various issues. So, and then we ask people to tell us about a big conflict they had had at work and what advice would they give to their former self. And they're, you know, one of the things that people say is that they would recommend, 55% of people said, I would tell myself to be more patient and stay calm. And 21% said, I would give myself the advice to talk about it sooner, so, which is great advice, but how do we do all that? So then we get into, in these goats that we've been referencing, these dimensions, get into that. Talk about how to get the confidence to start the conversation, how to de-escalate dramatic conversations. Do you ever need to think about when you need to quit a conversation? So all of those table setting, first 7 chapters, that's a great place to start. It gives you, equips you with all the fundamentals. Then from there, as Karen said earlier, we call them ACEs, A-C-E, acute conflict emergencies. And these are all the specific types of things you might need. So you go to the table of contents and you say, gosh, I need to say no to my boss. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to say no. Okay, go to chapter 8. I'm leading a team that can't get along with each other. What do I do? You go to chapter 17. I've got a micromanager boss or a boss who's stealing my ideas. That's chapters 18 and 19. So you can go find the specific chapter you need. I'm working with a bully or a chronic complainer or somebody who's passive aggressive. And you can get that specific help you need for that specific acute conflict emergency.
Love that.
Really, I would love to just kind of continue to pick your brains, but I know that you have other things in life to do besides hang out with the Star Coach Show. I do want to thank both of you for bringing your important work forward. We'll probably have to have you back to talk about your cultures, right? We got that. This going here. We need to have you come back and talk about the other. But when we think about these 4 dimensions of productive conflict, reminding everyone that it's connection, clarity, curiosity, and commitment. And my conversation with Karen and David is going to continue for the Star Coach community. If you want to know more about the community, be sure to check it out at starcoachshow.com/community. And each and every week, I am committed to continue to bring strategies, tools, and resources for all of you coaches and leaders who are listening with incredible guests like David and Karen. So be sure to come back every week. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. And once again, David and Karen, thank you so much for joining the Star Coach Show.
It's been our pleasure. Thank you.
Really appreciate getting to share powerful phrases for dealing with workplace conflict.
So good.